Hey, today I'm talking with Sarji Latucci. He's the author of The Visual Edge, Graphic Organizers for Standards-Based Learning. Check it out.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. Now here's Steve with this week's show.
Today I'm talking with Mr. Sarji Latucci. He is the author of The Visual Edge, Graphic Organizers for Standards-Based Learning, which is the focus of our talk today. Sarji has taught ESL and social science throughout his teaching career in suburban Chicago. He earned his bachelor's degree in education from Eastern Illinois University, a master's in educational leadership from Midwestern State University, and a master's in curriculum and instruction from National Lewis University. Say hi to everyone, Sarji.
Hello. Steve, thanks for having me.
Hey, I appreciate you talking with me today and looking forward to getting into your book, The Visual Edge. But before we do that, what got you interested in teaching and working, and working with kids?
Well, I had many good high school role models. My high school teachers were great, and they made it look really easy and fun. So that kind of got me interested in it from that end, just kind of seeing it happen and just having a really fun time in high school. And then my first teaching experiences were actually on the tennis court. I started teaching tennis when I was in high school and had a really positive experience and really started to see how, you know, if I'm well thought out and well planned, that my tennis students really got a lot out of it and really improved. So that's kind of what got me into it. But now what I really get into now is getting students from A to B and really focus on student results and how to build a relationship in a classroom climate where they really want to learn, and so that's kind of what interests me now as far as the job is concerned.
Gotcha. Did you grow up in you're located in Chicago? So did you grow up there, or did you relocate there? How'd you end up in Chicago?
Yeah, I actually. Well, my parents were an immigrant family, so we lived for a little bit in the Detroit area when we first came to the country, but the majority of my time growing up was in Chicago, and besides a few stints in college outside of Chicago, I've spent most of my life here, and so that's where I've built my career.
Cool, excellent. So, all right, so I got to ask you, are you a baseball fan?
Sometimes.
Cubs or White Sox, man?
Fair weather fan. More of a Cubs fan than a Sox fan, but I definitely appreciated what the Sox did in 2005.
Sweet. Okay, cool. Cause that's, I grew up in, Daytona Beach, Florida, and, I had a father who, was an avid White Sox fan, but I didn't understand that because growing up in Florida at the time in the early 70s, this is how I became a Braves fan or a Cubs fan, because you had WGN or you had WTBS. And I didn't realize until I got older how much my dad really just did not like me rooting for the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs, I mean, it's they're kind of, you know, either you love them or you hate them kind of a team.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so this isn't a baseball episode, but I had to ask. I'm sorry. I'm just curious. You could have told me, no, I hate baseball. Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk teaching for a minute. What do you think is one of the greatest instructional challenges for a teacher in the classroom today?
Well, I'd say today it's the complexity of a couple things that have been happening in our society and in the educational system over the last 15 or 20 years. First of all, the complexity of teaching rigorous academic standards in such a large quantity. And so take Common Core. Per grade level, that's a large amount of standards for kids to learn in 1 year. And as you get up into the middle and high school levels, a lot of it is upper level thinking skills. So that presents a challenge in and of itself. And then I don't know how it is in Georgia, but in many states, in Illinois in particular, now there's the student growth that's associated to our evaluations. So we're teaching more. We're teaching, standards that are, pretty difficult with the upper level thinking, being held accountable to the results. And so that introduces one side of complexity, and then relating to an ever more diversifying student body, which I guess is happening in our society, is becoming more diverse, and especially over the last 20 years. And so, with those instructional challenges and the diversity in the student population, those present, I believe, the most the biggest challenges for us today. And so, and instructionally, how things have changed in the way that, when I was in high school, the teacher was in charge of the rigor and the quantity. And today we're told that we're teaching Common Core, or we're teaching to ACT or to SAT. So that shift has presented a lot of challenges, and we're kind of dealing with them now, and kind of, I think, getting a little bit better than we've been.
Gotcha. It's one of the things that it's interesting, because I'm starting my 30th year in public education, and which I'm not quite sure where all that time went, but and I think about some of the unique things that have come around in the time from when I started teaching to where we are now. And part of that is what you're talking about. Some of it is very prescribed about working with kids and stuff like this. And some of it's, everything from the challenges of dealing with cell phones, which they're cool things and can be used for great tools of knowledge. But sometimes, they're used for a lot of other things. And all the way to the number of fidgets we have now that everybody seems to want to use. I don't know if you're running into that or not, but I now have my own Star Wars one, which I have my own. and so just lots of different things going on in our world. And part of that in the meantime is, like you said, we're looking at trying to help kids, here's where they came into the classroom and here's where I'm trying to get them to, and, what sort of growth are we showing and so forth. And so, one of the things that, in an article that you wrote, you start off by saying, and this is about the book, your book, The Visual Edge. You said, "When I first saw that long list of my classes, ELA, Common Core Standards, I remember feeling overwhelmed and worrying about, how I was going to cover all of them in a single school year. Tell us about this thought and how it helps you produce your book, The Visual Edge."
Yeah, so as I said, when I started teaching, I wasn't prescribed, as you say. Here's what my students are supposed to learn. But with Common Core and ACT and SAT being a bigger player in the game, it's kind of a new ball game with that and student growth. And so I think the major question is, how do we? And this is what I was kind of posing to myself before I went ahead and created The Visual Edge. Is, how do I pick up the pace of my instruction and yet be effective at the same time? It's like being asked to run a race a little bit faster than you ran before, and your time is being more evaluated. So looking at that and how to deal with that piece, what I started seeing is that graphic organizers really allow your instruction to be, just a bit more agile and a bit more effective with the standards than when I wasn't using them. And so when I looked online to see if I could buy kind of a set for the standards that I was teaching in class, I really didn't see any books or tools that were comprehensive. So what I did is I went ahead, and at that point I thought, hey, because graphic organizers really allow you to be more effective, I thought other colleagues across the nation might be kind of in a similar situation where they're kind of looking for tools, not finding effective, comprehensive ones for an entire grade level or an entire like middle school or high school curriculum. And I just wanted to put something out there that was going to help. And so that's how I came full circle to publishing.
Excellent. The one of the things I do is I coach teachers and principals, and I know some of the difficulty. One of the things you want is you want resources that are easy to look at that help kind of make the the stuff not so overwhelming is my point. Just like what you're talking about with the, when you looked at it and you went, whoa, that's a lot of stuff. And, you know, and it's, and when you have resources that can help a teacher, you know, cause who's struggling in the classroom, and you look at it and you're able to say, well, here's a resource that kind of lays it out for you, can help you get this part of it. That helps you then focus on whatever issues are happening that are really challenging, which is not that. And so that's a good thing to be able to have those resources that you can give them help simplify it a little bit and say, hey, you got this, you can do this, here you go. And that's one of the things that I like about those graphic organizers that you have, is that they do that for a person who's trying to make, who might be a little overwhelmed about all the different stuff they got going on. And then, you know, here's something that can help them with their planning and getting ready for teaching that class to help the kids, get what it is that they're trying to teach them.
Definitely. I mean, that was the intent behind it. When you're teaching upper level thinking, I think you use a good word there, simplify. To be able to have a resource that allows you to simplify teaching some of that upper level thinking. That's what I was kind of going for, and that's what I saw some success with.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think you achieved it, because it's something that I look for, these types of resources for teachers, and it's one that I wouldn't have a problem. You know, the worst thing are books that need to be translated, and I don't mean into English. I mean out of the doctoral world and out of academia into the use of the practitioner's language. And I think that you created a resource like this, which is cool. So who would you say is your perfect target audience for your book?
Well, I would say teachers are the perfect audience for the Visual Edge, because like we talked about, and I've already mentioned, it's very easy to use. You just kind of take a look at a page, and when you read the standard, you take a look at the graphic organizer, and you're like, okay, now I got it. Because some of the standards, they're very ambiguous. For a teacher to be able to teach them, you got to really understand what it means instructionally. So it kind of helps on that end. And also just easy to use in class and present and use with texts and use with different topics with the writing and the speaking and listening. I'd say teachers are the perfect audience also because it's a comprehensive resource. What I have with the Visual Edge is one graphic organizer or example guide, depending on the standard, for each Common Core standard, grade 6 through 12, all the English, all the history, all the science, all in one, ready to go. I would say also these tools, each one is aligned to standards. So each graphic organizer is perfectly aligned to the standards. And I think another two reasons it's perfect is because these graphic organizers, I truly believe in that they contribute to learning. And when you have a resource that actually like helps you as a teacher to get to the results, I think that's very valuable. I think a lot of resources that I've seen in the past, it's just like a text. They might, the resource might provide you a text and some questions or tasks, but that doesn't help you in the learning process. That might be a good assessment. That might be good for some lessons, but it doesn't aid in the learning process. And then last, I would say, there's a lot of flexibility there. If a teacher just takes a look at some of these graphic organizers I've created, there's a lot of flexibility in how a teacher might use them. So whether you believe in modeling, cooperative learning, portfolios and project, whatever your philosophy is, you'd be able to use the Visual Edge to help the students get to the results, which are in place, no matter what your philosophy is. The Visual Edge can be also used for assessments, for lessons. So whichever way that pre-tests, post-tests, there's a lot of flexibility in use, and you really make sure that you are arriving at that standard successfully with the kids when you're using it, as opposed to just assigning the task and assigning the task to students. And then last, I would say administrators are the perfect audience because, the administrators that are really interested in sustainable results for their school, and really if they really want a consistency of approach to those results, I would urge administrators to also take a look and have their teachers take a look, because I think if you use graphic organizers across a whole grade level or across multiple grade levels, it really, using graphic organizers in English class really helps with the upper level thinking in the history and science texts. So I would say administrators as well.
Excellent. One of the things I want to make sure that I ask you is that, I get the feeling that once you look at, you read your introduction and a little bit of the introductory parts of your book, that you really don't need to read it cover to cover. Am I good with that sort of thought? Or?
Oh, for sure. There's not a whole lot of reading involved. So it's just kind of a, kind of take a look and deploy. I mean, what each page has is the standard at the top. And then below the standard is an explanation that I provide. And in the explanation, you get two things. You get first an explanation of the standard, where I kind of put it into kind of paraphrase it into friendlier instructional language. And then the second part of the explanation is how to use that graphic organizer that's below to teach that standard that I have annotated above. So what I've done is I've taken each standard and put it into, or made it into, like an instructional tool. So for example, the Common Core standard, cite evidence of what the text says as well as inferences. So what you get is a table that you could use to arrive at that outcome, again, as opposed to just assigning kids the task and having them write a paragraph where they're kind of groping to understand the standard and understand how to make those connections between the text and what the text says and the inferences. So that's just an example of how how the graphic organizer would help. So there's no learning curve at all, and there's not a whole lot of reading except my explanation of the standard and the standard at the top there.
And that's what I really liked about it. And by the way, for my audience, I got to make sure that I tell you, I know I sound like a cheerleader for the book. I'm not being paid for this. It's not a paid, commercial or something like that. This is an infomercial. There we go. That's what I'm looking for.
I don't make enough money to pay you.
Nice. And so I want to make sure I say that, because I look for resources that are like this, because a lot of times, what a classroom teacher will say is that I haven't got time to read a book and get the gist of it. And, you don't have to do that. You read what you talk about, and then boom, you can start using it, and you have your guidance in there for them. And I like that type of resource. That's that's something that a classroom teacher can it can help them start making an impact. I guess my point is, they read it tonight and make an impact tomorrow if they wanted.
Definitely, it really doesn't take long at all. It's just kind of a take a look and you can use it pretty quickly. Or just take a look at some of the graphic organizers just to kind of get a better sense of what that standard means. And maybe you wouldn't use the graphic organizer, but just kind of getting a different perspective on the language of the standard by seeing it more visually, that really helps just from a knowledge perspective.
Excellent. So do you have a favorite one that you like to use in the classroom? If so, which one?
Oh, well... Yeah, so the one that I can say is one that I believe is very effective is just take the speaking listening standard from sixth grade. This one, it's delineate a speaker's argument and specific claims, distinguishing claims that are supported by the reasons and evidence and the claims that are not. So take that, asking a student to just write a paragraph to delineate a speaker's argument, claims, reasons, and evidence. That would really task the student, and it would be pretty difficult to model it without a table. And just asking the question or assigning the task, I just feel like doesn't do it. So for that particular standard, what I came up with is a table where the students can listen to a speaker. You can use a famous speech. You can use like Martin Luther King's famous speech, for example. And kind of, when students are listening for that claim, they have a space in the table to write the claim. And then when they're listening for like reasons, they have a space to write those reasons and then write the evidence. And they can kind of take a look and say, hey, which claims did Martin Luther King make that are supported and which ones are not? It's a little bit easier to kind of dissect with an analysis table, with multi-columns and multi-rows like that, as opposed to just, again, asking students to write a paragraph to do it. And even using like a paragraph to model it, it's difficult for the students to really see, what's the claim, what's the reasons, what's the evidence. So I would say that's one of my favorites.
Oh, excellent. And I appreciate you sharing one of your favorites, because a lot of times I ask somebody a question like that and they'll go, oh, come on, you're asking me to pick from my, like my children or something like this.
No, I'm not connected in that way too.
Glad to hear it. Thank you.
I'm not that attached in that unhealthy way to them.
Excellent. Tell me a little bit about, and I know you've said this kind of throughout your answers. I mean, you can put this together, but as we think about it, why should a teacher get your book and use it?
Well, I believe it works. It works for understanding the standards better. It works for the learning process. I mean, the way I look at it, having tools like this, graphic organizers like this, which I've created with the Visual Edge. I mean, it's like having another aide in class. It's like having a teacher's aide. It's almost like having like another person, I believe, in class that's really helping you to get to the result. So that's one reason why teachers should use it. And I think, from another perspective, I believe an added bonus is that it really saves time in grading. So, for just take the reading standards, if you're assigning tasks and questions and you've got like 100 or 150 papers to grade, that's going to take a really long time. But when you have a graphic organizer where students are just writing down their ideas, they're not writing like long paragraphs for the task for that particular standard. You just take a quick look at the graphic organizer, see if it makes sense, and really cut down your grading time by 70-80% by using my graphic organizer. So that's just an added bonus. So I really urge teachers and administrators, just take a look. I think if you take a look, you'll I hope have the same reaction as you, Steve.
Cool. Definitely.
Just take a look and kind of see if you like it. But I really believe in the concept, and I think especially teachers, when they take a look, I think they will too.
Excellent. So with that being said, if somebody wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way and where can they find a copy of your book?
So to reach out, I can be reached on LinkedIn, as well as email. So my email is sargylatucci@hotmail.com. That's spelled sargylatucci@hotmail.com. That's to reach out. I would love to hear from anybody who'd like to have some more information on the Visual Edge. To buy it, you can also email me and I can send you out a copy. It's available on Amazon and I believe a few other distributors. And I'm also looking into making some of the organizers available on teachers, paid teachers.
Nice. Excellent. One of the things that I want to make sure that my listeners know is that they'll be in my show notes also. I'll have links to I have your email address as well as your LinkedIn, as well as links to the book. So to the show notes and it'll be there too. So they don't have to just be writing right now while they're driving around, especially if you're driving around Chicago. That's not going to be good, or Atlanta, just not great places to be trying to write notes. But excellent. Sarge, one of the things that I wanted to kind of finish up with is I have a couple questions for you. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, what advice would you give to a teacher who is struggling to create engaging lessons?
Well, I would say to get attention to your teaching, to get attention to the learning, that you're kind of bringing to class in your curriculum. I kind of go back to the song from the early 90s called More Than Words by Extreme. I don't know if you've heard that one, Steve.
I don't remember that one. I might recognize it if I heard it, but I'm an 80s person. Sorry.
Well, I believe it was like 90 or 91, but I think that the title of that song, More Than Words, it kind of really encapsulates what I believe makes an engaging lessons. And so the main question here to consider is, for teachers, is, you know, is what students hear, see, and do, is it more than words in your classroom? Are you kind of opening it up to the majority of students who really need to see what you're teaching them and what you want them to do? And so, you know, I think an engaging lesson is one that, for the majority of the time, the teacher is doing a lot of modeling, and the students are completing tasks that are tied to the standard that is tied to the lesson, that's also tied to the assessment as well. So I would say, you know, take a look at that, and also, you know, allow your resources to kind of get you to those results. So, you know, in either creating the right resources or choosing the right resources, I would say, you know, that's what the students see. I mean, they see you, the teacher, you know, you're talking to them, but is there more than that? Is there more than just those words? Is there more than just the words that they're writing on pieces of paper? You know, is there more there that's getting the standards to make sense, so that after 3 to 5 lessons, the students actually got it? And again, with a lot of upper level thinking, you know, getting it, making lessons more than just writing paragraphs and worded, I think would be my advice to engage students into the standards and make it successful.
Thanks. Good stuff. All right. So I often work with teachers. I talked about this a little bit before. I often work with teachers who need some assistance. They struggle with classroom management. What thoughts do you have for a classroom teacher looking for help?
Well, I would say, you know, my kind of mantra is, and what I've learned over the last 15 or 16 years being in the classroom is, you know, for me, you know, good classroom management, that's kind of a function of teaching confidence. And so teachers that are struggling with classroom management, I think that's something that evolves over time. As you get more confident with the teaching, the classroom management just kind of comes along with it. But, you know, in addition to that, I would say also to teachers, just be empathetic to youth and to kids, and kind of think back the way, you know, how you were when you were their age, and kind of, you know, maybe you didn't see the big picture, or you kind of got, you know, just got overly excited about something someday and just kind of ran with it. I would say be empathetic to that. I would say be empathetic to, you know, the circumstances that each kid has and kind of brings into the classroom and their past experiences. That I'd say those things should be top of mind. And then last, I would say whatever classroom management philosophy you want to try or that you have or you want to kind of evolve into, it's got to fit into the school culture as well. So I would say take a look around, kind of see what's important to the other teachers that are veterans and in the administration, and kind of sculpt your classroom management plan and philosophy that way. I mean, you bring up phones. You know, when we were in school, there were no phones. That wasn't a big deal. You know, to some teachers today, that's a big deal. And, you know, if that's not for the school at large, then it would be pretty hard to make that a kind of a point of, you know, point that you want to enforce. So I'd say those three things. It evolves over time. Be empathetic and kind of fit classroom management into the school culture.
Love it. Love your answers. And the empathetic to kids. You know, one of the things that I love that part about, you know, the kid could be overexcited about something one day and the next day not be that, you know, and it just be something that happened that day. Boom. And you just got to be ready to accept that happens with kids, you know. And I think that's cool. So great advice. You know, so before we finish up, I have two last questions I like to ask everyone who I visit with. And The first one goes like this. If you were given the chance to talk with 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
Well, as you can tell, teaching preparation, kind of planning, and what I do outside of class, I take pretty seriously. So I would start with that piece of advice. I would say, you know, don't fly by the seat of your pants. Just be very thought out. And that happens before you get there. Something that I remember my first year teaching, I remember I was there coaching on a Saturday, and I remember seeing some veterans come, and I asked one of them, you know, why are you here? And she just kind of chuckled at me and just said, you'll figure it out why I'm here. And obviously, you know, she was there to prepare. I mean, she wasn't coaching anything. So that kind of, you know, that I remember that story in terms of your question, but I would also, you know, taking preparation seriously, more specifically, what I mean by that is, you know, as far as what it means to me is, you know, think of preparing for class as the curriculum for class as kind of an engineer or an architect would designing a house or designing a machine, and really try to weave together and connect your lessons and resources together so that they work toward students achieving the standards and students showing that on your assessment. If lessons and resources are well connected to standards and assessments, you've really got a leg up on being successful and students really being successful. And then lastly, I would add, find an interested coach. Not all veteran teachers are interested in helping young teachers kind of learn the craft and improve. But you know, there's usually at least a few teachers that are willing to help. And I would say finding a knowledgeable veteran would also be something that I would advise as well. So those are the things that I would tell them.
Sarge, I love that advice. That's awesome about preparing and finding an interested coach. Love it. That's just right on the money there. Finally, my last question, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? And if given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
Can I name two teachers?
Most definitely.
Oh, awesome. So I'll start off in high school. I'd name my tennis coach, John Novak. And the reason is that he really, I was a competitive tennis player in high school, kind of growing up. And really took that seriously, especially in high school and played in college. But what he did for me that I really appreciate and I want to thank him for is he really had a great ability to keep things light under pressure when I was competing. And I really appreciate that. And he really helped me to mature as a person, being my coach. And the second person that I'd like to thank is a university professor. Her name is Bernadette Herman. And she really got me to see the big picture of what curriculum is. And she really guided me to be more strategic in how I prepare for class, prepare my curriculum, just be more strategic in my actions. And so I would say those two people, I'd like to thank them and give them a shout out.
Awesome. You know, it's I appreciate you sharing the information like that, because there's, you know, it's people who make a difference in our lives, they're there, and it's neat to be able to have that chance to say something about it and to thank them, get a chance. So that's cool. I appreciate you doing that. The book is The Visual Edge, Graphic Organizers for Standards-Based Learning. I think it's an awesome tool that a teacher could use tonight and put into action in the class tomorrow. And I think people should check it out. I appreciate you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Take care now. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators. The opinions expressed on Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 are those of the guests and hosts. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is intended to share ideas, advice, and suggestions for classroom teachers and school administrators. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is produced for educational purposes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll share it with your friends. Take care.